Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I am here today with Margo Voth.
Hello.
If you have been listening to Fruitful and Fearless for long, there has been other episodes with Margo. You did one on modesty with me. Have we done another one?
We did one on sewing.
Oh, yeah. That was a really fun one, too. But they are in town visiting, and I just convinced her to come down here and spur the moment, wing it, do an episode with me. So I'm very excited that she said yes. But we talked about the idea for this episode a while back because you and Riley have lived a really unique life. And you are a very amazing wife because I don't think that I would be able to be as peaceful and calm through all the changes that you guys have had as you have been, or from the outside looking in, I guess. But I do know from the outside looking in that you've done a great job bringing a lot of beauty and hominess to all of your different seasons of life. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is being a homemaker in transitional seasons, because you have had a lot of transitional seasons.
Yes, we really have. Maybe I should recap kind of our life, because most people aren't going to know. Because I'm not that active on social media anymore because of our transient life. But, okay, so, it's hard to backtrack. But we have moved at least once every year, if not every 2 years, since we've been married. And usually it's for something like a productive property or some adventure my husband wants to go on.
That's what I was going to say. You have a very adventurous husband.
Yes.
Who is a risk taker and a go-getter. And you are a perfect pair for him. But go ahead.
And I should say, in the beginning, it was not that easy. You know, you have these dreams and these visions of, like, what homemaking is like. Everybody probably does. Yeah. And you just have to go with what you've been given.
Yeah.
And you don't know that trajectory for your own life. But Riley's been, I think, for our life, Riley's been really good, and he's noticed some weaknesses in me and been able to, like, coach me on how to see our life in a way that makes it more easy for me to, to follow along, and I'll start with that. So some of the things that he does for me that is really helpful is he puts a vision in front of me, and he'll say, okay, here's the trajectory, here's maybe some things we will endure, and being honest about the hardships, but here is what we can gain from them, and once he puts those visions in front of me, I feel like it's easier for me to be like, okay,
I can see where we're going.
See where we're going. And he's been really good about saying, here is what I will carry, and here is what you will carry. And it also puts into perspective a lot. Most of the time, he's the one that's going to carry the most of the burden. And I'm just really, what he wants from me as a homemaker is to just be cheerful. And I think that's the same in, like, even if you're not. Not doing a whole bunch of moving like we have, or like a bunch of adventures, it's really helpful for the wife to just be cheerful. And just to be willing to take it day by day and be thankful for the circumstance. And so, in essence, it's been like, I see the cost and the burden of it is not very big because I see what it'll, like, what he's doing.
What the outcome will be.
And just also helping him with his adventure and his desires for our household and for our family. So
that's good. I think letting go of expectations is a huge one in any kind of transition in life, because you're expecting things to be this one way, and it's usually beautiful and peaceful and quiet and sunshiny and smells good and, you know, all the magical things.
No messes.
Nobody's sick. And letting those go and just accepting, this is the life set before me. Whether it be full of sawdust and changing homes and all that or not. Sorry, I saw Jared go in Pravi's room, and I thought he was coming in here to tell us something. But yeah, I think just letting go of those expectations is a really important one. But I love how you've lived in a lot of different houses just since I've known you. And each one, you have posted pictures that I'm like, this is, and not because it's like the, well, you are a great decorator and I love your style, but, and it's not even that, it's like, I see food that you're making, or I see your kids playing, or I see you holding the hand of Atticus, or, you know, things like that, that I'm like, this is what a homemaker is, you know, and, and that can happen in a camper, and that can happen, that can happen in a rental home, that can happen in a house that you're flipping, that can happen anywhere. So what are some things that you try to make sure are steady, even in seasons of change for your family?
Those are really good. I think for me, and I think every woman would probably need to ask their husband too, their kind of their opinion. But for me especially, it's food. And not only just food, but like good food, quality food, making sure my family is equipped for their day as far as nutrition and stuff like that. It's like packing, you know, you got to get your all your essentials, like how is everybody, what are they going to need to survive? So just, I guess, one thing that's always steady is just planning ahead, having the things that I have that I need to be able to plan for any adventure, wherever we're at, or all the tools that are required for that, like notebooks or I carry recipe books wherever I go. I'm just like, if I if we're gonna go just 2 weeks here or there or stay in a camper here, I make sure I have the tools to be able to cook food.
So you bring your cookbooks with you even if you're staying in the camper?
I do. I have like a stack of them. I also always make sure I have an outlet for creativity because I don't want to just you know how it is with homemaking. You can get sucked into the cycle of like, oh, am I just always cleaning?
And you don't. Or I'm just always like babysitting. Like you can get into that mode where it's things that aren't actually what you're doing, but it's just taking the time up.
So I do make sure I have a creative outlet. Like often carry with me like my knitting bag or something like that, or even just a hand sewing tool. And I tend to, those are my hobbies. So I like, or a book, just something so that I have a place for me to move forward in my path of learning and living life and excitement. So that I'm not just like here twiddling my thumbs or something if I have a little bit of extra time.
I just recently told my sister-in-law this, who's going through a difficult time right now, but I was encouraging her, like, what is the sweetness in this season? And I think that that's so important because in times of transition or trial, you can only see the difficulty instead of the sweetness. So even, like, we were sick so much this winter, but there was a lot of sweetness in it. Like, there was a lot of slow days and a lot of cuddles and a lot of a giant bed in the living room that we all just laid on, and that was our day. And there was a lot of those things, like, man, that was slow and sweet and a lot of meaningful conversations and just trying to see, like, what's sweet in this instead of the things that I can have to complain about. Like, what's sweet? And then how can I make that sweeter? So, like, in a season where you may be, you know, living in a camper, what may be sweet, okay, well, how can I feed into that rather than how can I can be complaining about that and then feed into the complaining?
That's a really good point. Have you ever read Anne of Green Gables books?
I have not. No, I never have.
They're super sweet, and there's just this young girl that has a great attitude about life, and one of the things she says in the book is, you can enjoy almost anything if you just make up your, or you choose, you set your mind to it. You can enjoy almost anything. I really believe that's like,
that really is true.
It's just a perspective change of like, really what am I going to meditate on in my mind? Am I going to be frustrated that I constantly have to pack my bags or, or like I have to give up some things for other things? Or am I going to choose to enjoy this adventure and be happy about it and be thankful for the things that you do get to do and try to be creative in those avenues that that you've been given and steward them well. And also in that, when you choose those things, I think it sets the whole attitude for your family. Like if I'm in a complaining mood, then my kids tend to be in a complaining mood. If they're not excited about this 4 hour, if I'm not excited about this 4 hour drive, they're not going to be excited about this 4 hour drive.
I have been very guilty of complaining about long drives, and then I realized, oh, my kids are suddenly not liking road trips because they know that mom thinks that those aren't fun. And so we've been trying to reframe that. like, man, think of the cool things we're going to see on this drive. Yeah. This is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And Jared has had to coach me through that because he loves road trips. Like, he could take a 20-hour drive tonight and be super excited about it. Like, part of the fun of a trip is the drive for him, and it is not for me.
No.
Like, my hips will start hurting, and
like, managing all the kids in small spaces. Yes.
So many noises.
I have to coach myself on that one particularly. That's why I named it specifically.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really good. Is like what you're putting forth to your family, your attitude is going to rub off on them. So if they think this is a fun adventure, or if you think this is a fun adventure, maybe they will think
it's
a fun adventure too.
It'll be easier for them at least.
We went to a conference recently that was on the Puritans, and Joel Beakey talked. Do you listen to him?
No.
Okay, so he did a session on meditation, actually, and the Puritans' view of meditation and scripture. And that is something that you always hear people say meditate on the scriptures, and it's been like, okay, what does that mean though? You know, like, does that mean just think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
And it was just such an interesting session, just going over, okay, the Puritans would spend allotted time throughout their day thinking about scriptures, and then how do they relate to everyday life and the natural things that are surrounding us. So they would think about, a door. And then how Christ is a door for us. You know, like, all the things that, how a door is a natural representation of spiritual things.
Oh.
It was just really interesting. But I thought whenever you said to meditate on the things that are positive, it's like, man, yeah, we should be meditating. The Puritans set aside time every single day to meditate on the spiritual realities in their everyday life, and how great an opportunity during transitions to do that, to be like, okay, I could let my mind be taken up with the negativity that my flesh wants me to go down that path of, or I can spend time meditating on the spiritual things that God is actually doing through this transition in my family's life as well.
Yeah.
That it's not just we're going to flip a house, but it's also that God is working in us supernaturally as we are doing this hard task together. Like, this is sanctifying me. This is sanctifying my children. This is growing character in my husband. This is like giving confidence to him for the next thing that God's going to call us to. I think that's a great opportunity to meditate on those things.
It really is. It's a huge necessity for me, because left to my own brain and it's just thoughts while I'm doing my work or going through these things with Riley, I go to the negative. I go to the complaining. And so I have to meditate and coach my thoughts. What's good? What am I thankful for? How can I make this better?
Yeah.
What's enjoyable?
What can be enjoyable?
What's beautiful?
That's cool. Okay. Anything else about transitions that you feel like would be helpful to share?
I have one more thing that I think I thought of. I think a lot of times as wives, we can get really anxious and fearful of when our husbands come to us with change.
Yeah.
And my husband has come to me with a lot of ideas of change. But I don't think I clarified earlier, but Riley mostly does a lot of real estate investment. And so it involves our lives too. It requires us to move, renovate, and then move again, renovate, and all that stuff. Or rent, or however that works. But I think if your husband comes to you with these ideas, I would advise wives to, I've learned this from experience, to not verbalize your anxieties right away. And you may have them, and it's okay to talk about them, but not right away. And to let your husband be excited. Because you don't want to, because what you're going to say is going to really matter and help drive the family. And it's going to help him determine what's best for the family as well. So just letting him be excited and go on about his idea. And to then check yourself on, like, what are your anxieties valid? Or are they based on lies? Are they based on truths? And then being very careful with how you approach whatever he's excited about. Because Riley comes to me with, like, 1,000 ideas.
He's an idea factory.
And I had to tell myself, like, I don't want to discourage that, because that's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And he has really thrived in that. And thankfully he's a really strong personality too, because there's many times that I've been like, no, we can't do that, Riley, you're gonna crush us. And he's just like, we're doing it anyway.
You'll be fine.
Yep. And so I've just been like, oh, okay. And then he'll drag me through it, and then we're fine.
And we were fine.
And part of that is just trusting your husband. Yeah. Like, they're stronger and you're weaker, and that's okay. And they want to take care of you, and acknowledging, like, they're not just wanting to, like, drag you through the mud and destroy you and the family, which we can fear. And most of the time, our anxieties are based in, like, lies and fears and losing your comforts.
And not faith.
Not faith. Even just faith, not even in the Lord and his sovereignty for your life, but just faith in your husband, like trusting him and his, like, in his veracity. And
I think a lot of Christian women deep down want their husbands to lead, but then surface level won't allow them to.
Yes.
Like, you deep down want them to, and you, like, have this desire for a strong patriarchal leader of the family that will shoulder the burden and make the decision, make the hard decisions, and do the best thing for your family. But then surface level, you allow fear and anxiety to lead the family instead. And that's really hard. I get it. Like, I'm guilty of that at times too. But we need to be women that are brave enough to trust God. We serve the God of the universe. It is way more sovereign than our husband is.
Like, right, yes.
Your husband's not sovereign. You can trust the Lord. And even if he does make a mistake, you can trust the Lord, even in that mistake, that this was part of his plan to help us.
Yeah.
And that all things really do work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So even if this is a big mistake and costs us or is detrimental to us in some way, like, praise God. Good. God is doing something through it, and we can trust the Lord and support our husband and strengthen him for the next time.
It's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it can be easy to want that, but then not want that.
Yes.
And let the not wanting that lead instead of faith.
Yes.
And a lot of that is the self-control to close your mouth.
Yes.
Self-control to close your mouth and not let your emotions lead.
Yes. Telling your emotions to submit to you and the truth.
Yeah. That's good. So you said you bring your knitting bag and your cookbooks and a book. So what did you bring on this trip? Did you bring any cookbooks?
Yes, I did. I bought, we were in Menards and I saw, like, they have that bookshelf. Like, we're always in Menards. Like, that's our second home. Joanna Gaines has a new cookbook
out.
I saw it at Menards. How funny. I threw it in the cart and bought it. So I got that one. She has some. She has a s'mores bar in there that looks really good that I want to try. Like a baked s'mores.
When you guys come back, we should do that one for dessert.
Yes.
Joanna Gaines's chicken and wild rice soup is one of my favorite.
From which book? Because I do have all three.
I don't know. I don't have any of her books. I snapped a picture from my sister-in-law's copy. I think it was the first one.
Okay. Because
it's been a long time ago now.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
I've liked them. I have no idea if she writes these books or not.
Who knows?
But I think the recipes are, you know, you always have your own modifications to the recipes, but like the base of them is, like, pretty good.
Yeah.
And she has one with onion rings, like her onion rings.
Oh, I do really love onion rings.
Yes. I make those quite a bit.
Do you fry them in beef tallow?
Lard.
Yes. Okay.
Or sometimes avocado oil is a
I made a bunch of beef tallow this year from the, do you say suet? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
From the suet of our cow that we got. And I made up a bunch of tallow for cooking.
Yeah.
So my friend Becky made up a bunch for, like, cosmetic. Skin. It's, like, really great for even diaper rashes or just a moisturizer sometimes. But she made it up that's, like, very pure, doesn't smell like beef at all, like, looks great and smells fine. But the one I made, I didn't want to, so it's the amount of times that you filter it through is the less beefy that it smells. So I mean, you could put the one I made on your face, but you would just smell beefy.
your musk.
That's my natural musk, the aroma of beef. But the one that I made, I've just been using for cooking. I actually made the potato wedges that we ate tonight with that beef tallow. It's really good.
Do you ever fry in it? Have you fried it?
Yeah, we fried some fish.
Really well?
Yeah, we did some fried fish that Jared caught and the boys. They fish a lot in the summer, and then we put it in the freezer and then eat it in the wintertime too. And we did the tallow for that, and it was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes a lot. I mean, it renders down. I had a half gallon mason jar, the big like half gallon ones, and it filled that like 3/4 of the way up with one of my batches of suet that I used. So it makes a lot of cooking, of something to cook in that's like a healthy alternative.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do avocado oil a lot, but like this is even more nourishing.
Than, it is very nourishing.
Than that would be. So
I have not done that yet. We always get our beef, but we just eat the fat with it.
Yeah.
And I've done, I do lard usually.
Mm-hmm.
I did about 20 pounds this year.
Yeah. Did you make it? Okay. Yeah, I see, I don't know how the pro, I've never done that, so I don't know the process.
I think it's probably really similar. You just render it. Like you
I just did it in a crock pot.
I did mine in those turkey roasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just melt it down.
I chopped it up and melt it down.
And then just filter it through and put it in your jar.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Super simple.
I know.
So
I'm
worth
like, this
it.
Is just as simple as making like chicken broth.
Yeah.
It's like a similar process. You just heat it all up, basically, and then, I mean, it's easier because you don't even have to do it for as long.
Yeah.
Because I usually let my chicken broth go, like, 24 hours if I can.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the price difference in making your own and buying it, same as broth. Like, it is so worth buying.
Yeah.
Or making your own than buying it.
Yeah. So if you're getting a portion of a cow, just ask for the suet and they throw it in.
I'm going to next.
Yeah. And probably the same for hog. Did you guys slaughter your hog?
No, it was a processor.
And you just asked for the...
Like, they separate the leaf fat from the... I'm not sure what the other fat is called, but one is better, like, more white.
For lard.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or, like, it doesn't have the pork smell to it. Or if you're going to use it for cosmetics, you wouldn't want the leaf.
Do you use lard for cosmetics?
I know people make, like, soap, so...
Yeah. I've used it for soap before.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know you could use it, like, for a moisturizer, like you can tallow. Probably. I mean, why not?
When I use it, I rub it in.
Rub it in. I know. It really does
get it on those cracks.
Side note. So, I talked to Kelly Tungay about this last year, but I need to ask her again. But she was using just like carrot seed oil for SPF. Do you remember this conversation we had?
Yes.
Were you in on this?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I just got red raspberry leaf oil to use for SPF this summer because it has like between a 30 and a 50. This is so a side conversation. Hopefully anyone is interested in this or just fast forward. We'll get back to topic. But you might be interested, so we'll keep going. But I just ordered that to use for like an SPF whenever we're going to be out in the sun a long time and like use it on my face in the summer just as like a sun protection. And it feels amazing. Have you ever used it before? It's like a very thick, luscious oil.
Oh.
But it like sinks in nicely. Mm-hmm. So you could still put like a little bit of makeup over it if you wanted to and it wouldn't look like you're slick.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my plan for the summer because I sometimes get like the zinc oxide.
Oh,
Like the mineral. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Zinc oxide?
Zinc oxide, I think so.
Yeah, like for the mineral sunscreen,
mm-hmm.
Which probably is much stronger. Like if we were going to be on the beach in Florida, I would probably do that again.
Yeah.
But this just for like a, if you're going to be outside for a while. Anyways,
okay.
So that made me think, when we were talking about tallow and lard, it made me think of the oil that I got to try for SPF this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done anything?
We have, both Riley and I have really like our
easy
skin
tanning.
Too. Yeah. And in Oklahoma where we were with Riley's farm and ranch, there's just no trees. So you just have the sun.
Yeah.
And we're just fine. But we talked about it because the guys always end up with a sunburn on their
river trip
with Jared. Yeah. So it's worth looking into.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is coming up, so everyone, you should tell your husbands to register for the Shepherd's Creek Intensive. It's going to be in May, and they go to Jack's Fork River in Eminence, Missouri. So, yeah, you guys should let your husbands know about that. They camp out for a few days. It's going to be fun, and A.D. Robles is the speaker this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that'd be fun. Okay, you got the...
Oh, the cookbook.
The cookbook. And then what knitting project are you doing?
Oh, you know what? I took up crocheting.
We have a Titus II crochet class on Friday, and I'm very excited because I'm going to learn.
Cool. Is your mom going to teach you?
No, a lady named Vicky, but my mom's going to be there to help.
Okay.
And I am excited because I don't have, like, a little handicraft going right now, and I'm so excited just to be able to sit and... I did embroidery for a long time, but I kind of burned myself out, and I'm ready for something new, so I'm excited about crocheting.
You know what I find? There's a few things that I have a knitter, right? I love knitting.
Yeah.
And I still have some knit products that I'm working on, but I took up crocheting.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I found that is different from knitting that crochet is, it's a lot more forgiving. If you make mistakes...
That's what Vicky said.
Yes,
you just pull it right out.
Pull it right out, and you're fine. But knitting, you do have to know, okay, what mistake did I make, and then how do I reverse?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to, like, know how to do that pretty well. And often, like, knitters get discouraged by that process.
Mm-hmm.
I found it's a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
The downsides are it takes up a lot of yarn,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as it doesn't construct as easy. If, mm-hmm. I don't know if I, okay. I'm saying that correctly, but like making a garment, mm-hmm. you can do like the flexibility of it. You can do sleeves a lot easier than you can with like crocheting. Crocheting is kind of like it sticks to its mold. Maybe a better way to put it, like if you're going in a circle, it's like going in a circle, or okay. if you're like going in a square, it's like going in a square. You okay. can't like make yeah. different shapes as
okay.
easy.
Okay, that makes sense. Where do you get your yarn at? It probably depends what you're using, but like yeah. I know you use wool sometimes.
Yes, where? Most of the time. Fiber and Company Online, I think that's what it's called, like drawing a blank now. They have like everything, mm-hmm. but I recommend just going to your local yarn store. Mm-hmm. Like, and you just can't beat it,
yeah.
because you can feel it, mm-hmm. and you kind of can know, you know, just what is it gonna look like? Because there's been so many times I've ordered yarn online, and I'm like, oh, this is not fabric. What I was going for.
Yeah, yes. I know. I order fabric online sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is way different than what I thought it was gonna mm-hmm. be.
Yes.
Or like drapes way different.
Drapes,
it's like,
yes.
oh gosh, it's
the
stiff.
Same thing. Like, I mean, you're essentially making. Fabric when you knit or crochet.
Right.
It's like the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like you want the drape and the feel to be a certain mm-hmm. way for your project. Mm-hmm. And so.
Are you going to be back in town Friday?
I think we're going to be back Monday.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you can come to the Titus II class.
Yes, because I'm like super new beginner. I made like the granny squares.
Yes.
I made a granny
fun.
Square vest.
Oh, fun.
For Valentine's Day.
That's cute.
That's all I started with.
Yeah. I think she's just going to show us how to make like a dishcloth so we know how to make a square. But then she's going to let us know how to read patterns and stuff so that you, then the world is your oyster.
Exactly.
If you know how to do a chain mm-hmm. and how to keep going and then read a pattern, mm-hmm. it's like sewing. Like if you know how to use your sewing machine and you know how to read a pattern, mm-hmm. you know how to like pin things and cut, then mm-hmm. you can do a lot.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of where creativity flows, is like after those steps.
Yep.
Like once you know how to read the patterns and then you know how mm-hmm. to do the craft, just the very basics, use your tools.
Mm-hmm. Are you making Imogen an Easter dress?
Yes.
You are? Yay!
Are you making Bradley?
I did last year. Yeah. This year, I don't think I am. It's just busy, and I bought her something that if I... Okay, I still am allowing myself to say I might make her an Easter dress, but I also bought something in case that doesn't happen.
That's great.
Because it's just, right now, my hands are really full right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oak is very demanding of me right now, mm-hmm. and school is still going on, and we just have a lot on our plate. So it's just, I'm not saying that I'm going to for sure, but I do have fabric that I could make one out of, and it would be adorable because the fabric's, like, vintage and so cute. Mm-hmm. It's, like, light blue with flowers, and I got it at a yard sale, so it's, like, truly vintage, adorable fabric.
Yes, I can see it in my mind.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
But if it doesn't happen, then I have coordinating outfits for all four kids, and they're very cute, too, so.
Well, that sounds like what we were talking about with just being, like, adaptable.
Yes.
And, like, not holding things too tightly,
I
but,
know.
Like, but still being allowing yourself to dream.
Yes.
Like, allow yourself to be creative.
I might.
Yeah.
I might find a couple-hour block mm-hmm. in my life before Easter that I'm, like, I'm going to go sew that dress.
Yes, exactly.
And that's all it'll take.
But and if you don't beat yourself up about it.
No, because I got a cute little dress upstairs that I can put on her.
Yep, you gotta order your priorities.
And yeah.
The Easter dress is probably not one of them.
No, it's not. I told Margot whenever she got here tonight that we're just in a different season of life where I'm having to learn to walk past things and be like, it's okay that I'm not touching that right now because I have to go and deal with the other thing that's more important. And that is our season of life right now, is like there's a lot of more important things, so other things have to not be touched for a second while other things are seen to. So, yeah. But also lots more later in my life whenever I don't have a little baby.
Yeah, yes, you will, most likely.
And then, are you reading anything good right now?
Oh, I just picked up a new book, and I probably can't tell you the title because I'm terrible at that. But it's a Charlotte Mason one.
Since I'm reading a Charlotte Mason book.
Are you?
Yes, I'm in a Charlotte Mason book club right now.
That's
Parents and Children, Volume 2 is what I'm reading.
Oh, you're reading one of Charlotte, like the Charlotte
yes.
Mason. Mine's not. Mine's like someone that's like of the Charlotte Mason.
Oh, it's
like the
not
Schaefer.
Actually Charlotte
not,
Mason.
Not Charlotte Mason's writings, no.
Okay.
But
have you ever read Charlotte Mason's writing?
But
okay.
I should. I've read several of the other books
Same.
That like they recommend.
Same.
Like,
yeah. And then a gal at our church was like, hey, I'm doing a Charlotte Mason book. And we're going to do a book club if anybody wants one. And I was like, I do, because I've never read anything of hers, actually.
It's one of those things, like, what, did you read Anna, I don't know.
Karenina,
yeah. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, you can do the book. It's just intimidating, you know? Like, you just have to make that step. It's kind of like reading Shakespeare or something.
Yes.
Like, you could do it, just take that step. That's how I am with Charlotte Mason's writing.
It's wonderful being in this book club, though, because Shayna sectioned out all the readings, so it's only 5 minutes a day of reading this book. And so she has like a whole schedule with the dates, and we're off on the weekends, but she has the date and then the chapters like this page through this page, stop at this paragraph, and it's only 5 minutes. And so you can get the reading done in 5 minutes or less. And then we just have a text group and everybody like comments something about it. So I feel like even on a day that I was later to read this allotted section, like I got something out of what someone posted on our little text group out of it. So it has been fun because it is an intimidating writing.
It is.
It's harder to read. At first I just got her original book, and then I realized that you could get it in modern English. And so I got that one, in modern English one, and it is easier. And back to modern English, Joel Beakey has a publishing company, and they do Puritan classics in modern English.
Okay.
So we got like three of them at that conference, and one of them I got. So have you heard of The Jewel of Christian Contentment by Jeremiah Burroughs?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I have that one, and it's good, but intimidating and hard to read. Not just one that you're, like, going to sit down as your kids are playing and talking to you and asking you questions and skim through,
right.
Which is my life right now. Like, people are talking to me mm-hmm. while I'm reading, mm-hmm. so it's very hard for me to read something that is wordy right now, because I'll get halfway through a sentence and be interrupted, and then I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about
you
anymore.
Stay on the
I can't
same
remember.
Sentence for, like, 10 minutes.
I can't remember because I just made some chocolate milk and came back to this. So these are in modern English. They're very affordable. Like at the conference, they were only $5 a piece. I think they're $10 normally, but you can find, and they're on topics. So like we got one, the contentment one, we got one on, public worship, and then one on unjust anger. I think my friend Becky that was there, I think she got one on anxiety or something, but they're like topical, but they're Puritan writings in modern English.
Oh,
so those are very
helpful.
Accessible.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah. I wish I knew the publisher off the top of my head. But I think if you just Google Jeremiah Burroughs and, like, Puritan classics in modern English, it'll probably come up. Maybe.
Maybe.
So you don't remember the Charlotte Mason book that you're reading right now?
I almost want to say it's just something very, like, general, like Charlotte Mason Education.
Okay.
Darn it. I don't know. I just started opening it, so.
So far, you like
it? Yes, so far. Read like 3 pages.
Loving this.
I just finished Beautiful Girlhood. Yes.
Yeah.
Mabel Hall. Oh, I can't remember the author. It's
in
like 100
years
ago. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's super good. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah. That's on my list of readings for Providence whenever she's bigger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why I read it. Mm-hmm. I was going to see, is this worthy of my daughter reading it?
Yeah.
It was.
So we are on a giant Count of Monte Cristo kick in our house right now. So, one of the pastors at our church, Andy, he just read Count of Monte Cristo. I think he listened to it maybe, but he was telling Jared how fun it was. Well, Jared has always loved the movie Count of Monte Cristo. And have you seen it before?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I had watched it with Jared a long time ago, but like, I don't know, I was probably doing something while we watched and I didn't really pay attention because he was talking about the story and I'm like, I don't really remember what happens in it. So we watched the movie again. We got an old copy of the book. It's super thick. It's like bigger than Anna Karenina, which was the biggest book that I had ever read. And this is bigger. So it's very intimidating. We're probably going to be reading it for like the next 3 years because Jared and I are reading it out loud together in the evenings.
That's fine.
So it will definitely take 3 years minimum. But we did listen to some, like on a road, we went on a like hour and a half drive the other day and listened to it on the way there and the way back and got through a few chapters. But then, okay, so we read the movie, we have the original book, and then Ransom loved the movie, so he is reading the illustrated classics that are like the abridged version, and he's reading that right now and loving it. So we're like very engulfed in the Count of Monte Cristo right now, and all the kids really liked it. It's honestly a really good book, a really good movie. There's a little bit of violence, but you can just look into it on your own, because I'm trying to think, was there anything that was sketchy in it? Just look into it on your own, because sometimes I don't remember, but our kids watched it, and it was okay.
Oh, okay.
I think there was one scene Jared made them close their eyes, but yeah.
I'm sure Riley has seen it.
Yeah.
It was fun. I highly recommend reading books with your spouse. We love it.
Yes.
We're doing Dune out loud right now.
Okay, what's that about?
Dude, it's high fantasy, I think. Oh. Maybe it would be categorized.
Dune.
There's a movie. Okay. There's a second movie coming out, and we want to finish the book before the second movie comes out.
But I love it's fantasy. It's just fantasy. So that sounds amazing. I need to put that on my list.
Okay.
You say fantasy, and I know, a movie coming like, out, and I'm like, that's up my alley.
You would like it. Okay. Space.
So. Oh, mm-hmm. I do like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Reading out loud. Jared and I just finished the Child Training Tips?
Child Training Tips.
Yes.
I put that on my list right away after
really
you
had recommended it. It was really good. We've read a lot of parenting books, and this has been my favorite by far. I felt like it was the most balanced, the most biblical. It was just really helpful. I liked it a lot.
I know this isn't supposed to be about, like, parenting or whatever, but what is, like, your main takeaway? Like, is there just one thing that you're like, oh, this was really helpful?
You know, I don't think I can say one, but because he covered so many different things, and I felt like each time that we were reading out loud that section, it was like, oh, that's the section we needed to hear. That answered a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. That's helpful. We can implement that easily. But it was really, the whole end portion of the book was all about, like, love, making sure that your kids know that, like, love is of utmost importance in your family. Like, we're doing, even this discipline, we're doing it because we love you. Like, your actions, are they rooted in love? Are you loving your sibling? Are you loving God? Are you loving your family? And that, it was just really good as a reminder, like, even in our discipline, like, we're doing this from love. Of course we are. Like, we know that. But then sometimes you can get caught up in discipline where it's, like, it's just monotonous. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. You're doing the same action again that I told you not to do. But it was just a helpful reminder, like, yeah, we want to make sure that everything that we're doing, everything they're doing, is in love.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked.
Seems so easy, but then it's so hard.
It's easy to get distracted by focusing on the misbehavior.
Yes.
Okay, so anything else about A Transient Life, or cookbooks, or knitting, or...
things that we could talk about forever, so the answer is yes, but maybe not for the show.
Okay, well, I'm so thankful that you were so brave and just jumped on here to wing this episode with me, Margo. Thank you.
I'm glad you had me.
Thank you guys for listening, and, I did want to mention that we were just talking about the Sons and Slaves podcast. Just in case that you guys don't know about it, Jared and our sons are doing a podcast called the Sons and Slaves Podcast, and they go through a book together and break down the chapters, and it's all about character building, and it's so much fun. Like, the boys do a great job, and it's adorable, and they say cute and funny things, and it's very fun to listen to with your kids. So if you have kids, especially sons, check out the Sons and Slaves Podcast, because there's even, like, some people that you incorporate it in with their homeschool curriculum, because it is, like, good character building lessons and stuff like that. So check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.